Stand to your feet as we get into our text here. Open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. We're in the series about the fruit of the Spirit. How many have been enjoying this series of the fruit of the Spirit so far? Come on. I know we got our Bibles, maybe you can't really clap, but we've just been getting a ton of feedback in a good way from those that are following us online as well as those in the house. This, in case you didn't realize, this is one of those present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're going to stop right there. Lord, we just thank you for the promises in your word. We thank you for your peace. We just ask, God, that your peace would settle in even more right here, right now. Lord, I believe that there are going to be many of us that are going to experience deliverance today, a breakthrough today, a healing today, a deliverance of sorts today, all because of your peace. All because of your peace, Lord. And we open our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. Let your words be heard. Let the cross be seen. Holy Spirit, you take over. Continue to take over. Speak your words of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Zach. Amen. I find this is so wonderful. I don't know about you, but I really love when the Lord connects little dots that are just unplanned, unforeseen, but you know that God is with us in a special way. I really didn't realize this, but I know we just are celebrating May, Foster Care Awareness in May, and I think this is a wonderful program that we just started here a year or two ago, and God has blessed it ever since. But May is also Mental Health Awareness Month. And I found, how fitting is that? That the first Sunday of the month, the Lord would orchestrate the fruit of the Spirit to be peace. It could have been anything. Peace. So this morning, the title of the message is Peace, the fruit that everyone needs. If I could give it a subtitle, I would give it this: Peace for your pieces. P-E-A-C-E for your P-I-E. CES. You see, one of the things I liked to do when I was a kid, and we revisited it during the COVID lockdown, was our family, we got jigsaw puzzles. How many puzzlers do we have here? How many like the idea of puzzling, but you hate to do it when you get home and you put it together and you're, why did I do this? You have a box of pieces, and I don't have one to show you, but you can, you know what I'm talking about. In this box, it could be 500 pieces, it could be 1,000 pieces, it could be 2,000 pieces, but in this box, you have a bunch of what seems to be random shapes and sizes. Then you can shake it, and it's a mess. It's all over the place. It's scattered. It's because it's went through a process of breaking down. And the whole idea is to take all these random pieces that on their own are nothing but destruction and chaos and whatever. But when you have the patience and you have the time to put them together, they paint a beautiful masterpiece. That is what I believe the Lord wants us to know about today, is that the pieces of our life to us represent heartache, hurting, turmoil, trials and tribulations, even all betrayals, whatever. You plug in the gap. And to you and I, it feels like it's just pieces, it's just worthless, it's just nothing. But let me tell you that the creator of the universe, who called you and I by name, is the master puzzle piece person. And he is gonna take your life, as you allow him to unbox your circumstance, as you allow him to unbox your life, he's gonna take those pieces and he's gonna begin to fit them together. And there's gonna be a day after following him and after trusting him, you're gonna look back and you're gonna see the masterpiece that God made out of your life, out of your pieces, out of his peace. Amen. If you receive it, amen? This was a week that always seems to line up. I don't know about you, whenever you share the word of God or wherever you go to line up, but this has been a week that I needed patience, or I'm sorry, I needed peace. This week, I cut my thumb twice trying to chop some vegetables. I got into a little patch of poison ivy or something in the backyard, got all over my arms, picked up my daughter from college and moved her back home. If you've ever done that, you know exactly what I'm saying. You name it. And I found myself a few times recalling this message and saying, I need your peace, Lord. Because how many know there's things in our lives that can take our peace in a moment's notice? How about just some politics that can take your peace at just a moment's notice? Watching the news that can just take, that certain relative that you have, that you see that name on the caller ID, your heart sinks and you go, that person takes your peace. Your teenager at home might be taking your peace. Your spouse, look straight ahead at me, might be taking your peace. And my absolute favorite, when you get a certain feeling in your body, you run to Google and you find out you're dying in the next 7 hours. And you've only got a little bit to live. I mean, I don't know about you, but that gets me almost every single time where I have to finally stop looking up stuff. There's certain individuals that work in the healthcare field here. I call them up. Hey, is this okay? Can I FaceTime you? Because these are things that can take our peace. But let me just remind you, church, if there's ever been a time that we needed the peace of God, it's now. If there's ever been a time that we needed the peace of God, it's right now. Mental health has been on the decline since the pandemic. Burnout, anxiety, depression, loneliness, suicide. I just described some of us sitting in this room. Is at an all-time high. I did some research in a couple of locations. Boston College did this. A Boston College research found that anxiety has increased to 50% of the population. That is 6 times higher than it was in 2019. In U.S., young adults was hit the hardest. From the ages 18 to 29, rates of anxiety and depression have increased to 65%. In that demographic. In 2021, a study said that nearly half of the Americans surveyed reported recent symptoms of anxiety and depression and disorder. Pew Research, these are just numbers. Pew Research that even several years after the pandemic, Americans, even though have returned to normal activities, are still largely dealing with mental health issues. At least 4 in 10 adults have experienced high levels of psychological distress at some point. 4 in 10. In men, it's roughly 32%. In women, it is nearly 50% of the women, even in this room, have experienced everything I just said. This is just crazy. This is the time and the days we live in. So it doesn't matter what age group you fall in, what demographic you fall in, we need some peace. The Bible does tell us in the end times that men's hearts will fail. I do believe we're experiencing a piece of that. But this morning I want to share with you this word that God has given me about this word peace. And I believe there's 3 main areas in our lives, 3 arenas in our lives that the enemy has attacked to take our peace, and it has affected our quality of life. Because I'm here to tell you that some of us have just settled for existence when God has called you to thrive. You see, it is not God's best for us to just barely make it through another day. Same old soup, but a different bowl. That is not God's best for us. His best for you and I is to be conquerors and to be victorious and to make it through the day with energy in our hearts. But the circumstances around us, things that have affected us, has hit our peace and has hit our peace hard. But I believe today there's going to be some folks that are going to be blessed, that are going to be encouraged, that are going to be restored, and that are going to just have their lives turned right side up again. There's been people that's been praying for years for this day, and you don't even know it. You walked into a deliverance service where God is going to set you free. Let's get into this today, because he says, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Now, he wasn't just throwing up deuces and saying, I'm out of here. Deuces, what's that? Jesus was saying, my peace I give to you. Not like peace of the world, but my peace. See, anytime Jesus has something to say, he always contrasts it with something. He was comparing his peace with the peace of the world. So I began to look at this, because if you didn't realize, the Bible was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And so I began to do a word study, and there's several peace words, peace, in the New Testament. We're going to talk about a few, 3 of those words today. In this context, Jesus is saying, listen, I know that in our culture we say shalom, which means peace. When there's a greeting or when there's salutations, they say shalom. Jesus was not merely just telling them peace like you've heard your entire life. This is what this word peace means. This word peace is irene, from Iro. It is a verb, not a noun. Can I take you to school just for a moment? If you remember, a verb is an action word, not a noun. Hopefully you remember that. This is what's so powerful about this. This is what that word means. It means to join. It means quietness. It means rest. And my favorite one says this. It means to set to one again. This is not just saying, have a good day. This is the peace that Jesus said will begin to activate during times of adversity. This is the peace that is action. It's alive, and it will activate in those moments of your life when you feel like everything's falling apart. It's this peace that is gonna activate and override it. Think about a car. I'm really much of a mechanic, but I'll tinker a little bit. But we all understand that it has three main parts, right? An engine, a transmission, and a radiator system. In your car, there's a coolant system that is based with a radiator, has some fluid, has some hoses, and a little fan that runs. Why? Because your engine, as great as it is, will be generating heat and friction as it operates. And as that engine generates heat and friction, it has a temptation to overheat and blow up. If you've ever had a bad radiator or low in fluid, you know what I'm talking about. This whole system is meant to engage when the temperature of the engine gets to a certain point. It's meant to engage to bring the temperature of that engine back down to an operating level. And it all hinges on a little device called a thermostat. It's a little bit larger than a 50-cent piece and has a couple little ears on it. And that's just a simple little metallic device that tells the radiator system when to engage. Let me tell you this, that this piece is just like that. As your life gets creating friction, as your life gets creating heartache and trial and pain and anger and unrest and all these things that are happening, you start to feel yourself getting all wound up. This is when the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of peace, is supposed to activate and bring the level of your temperature back down. How many relationships have we destroyed because we've allowed our engine and our mouth to overheat? How many marriages have been shattered because we've allowed our attitude to overheat? How many disengagements between our children and parents have happened because we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to activate? Remember that thing on Facebook? Holy Spirit, activate. Some of us need that. When you start feeling that temperature rising, when you start to feel that thing, and you might have a really good comeback to say, but let the Holy Spirit activate and bring that temperature right back down in your life. Bring that temperature right back down. Because this peace we have forfeited. This peace we have let go. Because when has it been okay, church, to settle with our struggles and with our sins just because that's the way I'm wired? When has that ever been an excuse to cover our sin of the mouth? Because that's just how I am. I don't know about you, but I read in the Bible that says if any man be in Christ, he's completely rewired. The old is gone and the new is made new. So when are we gonna learn how to handle conflict in a Christ-like way? When are we gonna learn that when our temperature gets rising, let that Holy Spirit activate and bring that peace down? Because we are his agents of peace. And yes, God does put us in some hostile environments. He puts you there on purpose so that you can be the agent of peace. Let's keep going. The other part of it, we're talking about trees. So I said, Lord, help me to find something that has to do with trees because radiators don't grow on trees. And I just began to search and I found this story because that's one word. It means to set again. It means to reset, okay? The other word is to join. Remember back in the day when we all hold hands and say, bind us together, Lord, bind us. Remember those days? I've never been more thankful to be a musician in my life because I hate that stuff. I'm just telling you right now, I'm gonna grab somebody's hand. I don't know you. You know, men's restrooms will be out of soap for 6 months and nobody will know. Hold my elbow. I was so glad for social distancing. Are you kidding me? I've got a bubble. Like, don't come near me. I can hear you just fine. Stay right there. I love that stuff. And I'm glad that all went away. The Lord can bind us together without me holding your hand. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't offend some people. I probably just did. Get an email. What kind of church is this? Hey, everybody ain't supposed to come to this church. I'm just shooting it real. My father says one thing he was known for was being plain. I got his jeans. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to show you something. The other phrase in peace means to join. Look at this. In the late 1990s, while pursuing her PhD in forestry, Dr. Suzanne Simard began to develop some radical ideas that clashed with the establishment. Believe that. About forestry and how forests grow. According to veteran foresters, trees were isolated loners that engaged in a cutthroat competition for water, sunlight, nutrients, etc. When the winners would stand strong and the losers would be sucked dry and die, which is very much a Darwinianism thinking. Having spent some time researching the most effective methods of growing trees with logging firms in British Columbia, the forest ecologist came to doubt the wisdom of what they call the plantation model. Tear down, plant, which saw companies putting fast-growing trees in order to get quick cash, but they were decimating forests. It wasn't just as simple as cutting and replant. She felt this approach ignored the absolute genius of nature's design. We all know who that is. And she set out to learn why the old-growth forests were so powerful. In a series of landmark experiences in British Columbia, she discovered that trees are connected to one another through vast, complex, underground fungal root systems known as mycorrhizal networks. Maybe you didn't know this, maybe you did know this. I know it's been preached before. But trees under the surface have a root system that you can't usually see unless they come above the ground. And they found that these trees are connected to one another. But it doesn't stop. It gets way, watch this, in the light of peace being connected. Watch where we're going with this. Trees are connected through the mycorrhizal networks, right? Via the subterranean pipeline, trees share carbon, water, nutrients with other trees that are nearby, including other species. Imagine that. Imagine people that don't look like us and don't sound like us and don't talk like us, but yet still getting together like family. Why? Because we are connected. Amen? They are also able to transmit information. This blew my mind. It literally is a symbiotic relationship. From the tree roots, the fungi extract sugars that are used for fuel that can't produce it on their own. In return, they ferry water and nutrients drawn from the deep soil from tree to tree to tree to tree. She was ridiculed in her studies by all the establishment. She almost gave up, the article says. But Dr. Simard persisted her pioneering cutting-edge investigation into how these fungal filigrees help trees relay distress signals about drought and disease that is on the way. Search for offspring and transfer nutrients to the baby trees before they die. An elaborate system that she compares to the actual neural networks of the human brain. So these trees are connected under the surface, transferring water, transferring nutrients, transferring carbon for photosynthesis, transferring information if there's a drought at the other edge of the forest, or if there's harm at the other edge of the forest. They're literally communicating. God designed them that way. But it goes further. This just blew my mind. It goes further than this. Can we go a little bit deeper? Using DNA microsatellites, Dr. Simard also identified what she calls mother trees. The largest and the oldest and the strongest trees in the forest act as a central hub for all of these mycorrhizal networks under the surface. These trees support baby trees by infecting them with fungi and sending them the nutrients they need. In fact, this idea is what spawned the movie Avatar. The whole connection thing that they do, that wasn't really my movie, but I saw it once. They do this thing. It was spawned for her. But let me tell you, church, this is exactly what we've been talking about, being abiding in Jesus. Listen, peace comes for when we are joined to him, when we are joined to the Father tree, if I could say it like that. We are joined to the Father tree. One of the things that happened in the pandemic is that we were separated. We were never created to be separated. I'm one of the biggest introverts you'll ever meet. It's not that I don't like you. I just can be by myself and be just fine. That's just how I'm wired. My wife does not get that one bit. She is the classic extrovert. That's why I married her, so she could talk to people. She loves it. She's like a wind-up toy, and let her go just in any social environment. She's meeting all these people. I've been in the Michigan district my whole life. My wife has been cutting the scene 2 years ago, and she knows half the people in the district with all her book stuff and authorship. Hey, I'm still here. It don't bother me a bit, though. But we were never, even though we're introverts, listen, this ties in perfectly with peace and mental health because this was destroyed. We were made to connect. Think about it. The church isn't the only place where people get together. Did you realize that? You can go and see the VFW club and the Moose club and the Elk club and the I don't know what club, and there's all kind of stuff. We've got sports that join us together. We'll be shoulder to shoulder at Ford Field. Somebody, I don't even know, I'm not holding their hand, but I'm next to them and we're shouting, Jerry Reed, go. Jerry, you know, I don't know them. Things, you might like to hunt and fish. I don't know why I just got Southern, but you might like to hunt and fish. And you connect over that. That's fine. That's cool. That's proving my point. We were created. That's good. But what the problem is, it's the what or the who you are connected with that will determine your destiny. I can tell who's my kids have been hanging out with when they come home saying things that we don't say in this house. When they come home doing things that we don't do. When they come home listening to things that we don't listen to in this house. You might not realize it, but you do the same thing. Like those kids that are being outside playing all day that come in and smell like the outside. They don't know it, but you know it. That's what's rattling our peace, is that we're allowing ourselves to get connected with anything and everything. Even in the church, we're allowing ourselves to get connected with people that are toxic, people that are ugly, people that are discontented, people that just want to complain and gripe and always have a better way. These are the people that are going to suck your nutrients out of your life. These are what we call toxic people, and some of us just have a habit of finding the same old type of toxic boyfriend, the same old type of toxic girlfriend, the same old type of toxic people. Today, that's breaking. Today, God is saying, I'm going to give my people peace. I'm going to give my people peace like a river, the old song used to say. If you want to receive it, you might be happy with the way things are. If you want to change, God is saying today is the day. Let me tell you, this is what's so dangerous. This is what we're talking about, the two trees, because we got the living tree right here, the tree that is planted. Whoa, boy, I'm gonna leave that right there. The tree that is planted, it's in the root system. It's reaching out to other fruit trees. It's reaching out to other people that are bearing fruit, that are doing some good stuff, but not this guy, not brother religious, not sister critical. This is the spirit that's rooted right here, all by themselves like a big silo, not connected to the roots of other people, not connected to the roots of the Father tree. I ain't getting no help in this Baptist church today. They're not connected to the Father tree. There's no nutrients coming your way. There's no water coming your way. You're in a drought and you're dry and thirsty and you wonder why. Because you're not connected. You're just based on works. You're not connected to the tree that will give you nutrients and warning when the high tide gets high, when the droughts get hot. You've got to be connected. This first arena is what we're talking about today, is peace with God. Let me tell you something. I know it sounds cliche and it seems obvious, but let me tell you, if we don't have peace with God, our lives will never make sense. I'm gonna go a little past noon. I'm already gonna tell you that. Can you give me some time? If you gotta go, you gotta go. I get that. But the Lord has put this on my heart because I believe some people are gonna get a hold of this today and their lives are gonna be changed. They're gonna say, on May the 5th, 2024, peace was brought back to my life. Peace was brought back to my mind. I believe it. If it's just two or three of us, I believe it. The first area is this: peace with God. We're gonna go to Hosea chapter 2. Now, this is a large passage. I don't have time. If you're unfamiliar with Brother Hosea, he was an Old Testament, what we call the minor prophet, just because it's a small book. I don't know why we say that, but these small books are just as powerful as any other prophetic book. But here's, so this brother, you know, the Old Testament prophets, God told them to do some crazy stuff. Jeremiah went through the streets naked. Now listen, don't be trying to streak for Jesus down the campus of U of M. This is a different time, all right? But those men and women of God that God had them do some stuff, well, this man, Jesus, or God said, I'm gonna have you go marry a prostitute. And you're gonna have three prostituted children. Oh, what about the bless me prophecy, Jesus? Put that on a fridge magnet. I'm gonna marry a harlot. They had three children. One of them said nameless. Their name meant nameless, loveless. And the other one was named after the atrocities at Jezreel, that God said, I will judge you for what you did at Jezreel. And you're gonna name your children. That way, every time you see them, you're gonna think your judgment, loveless, and nameless. Imagine having those names. Speaking of names, God told him to go marry a harlot named Gomer. What's that old saying? If a rose had a different name, would it smell so sweet? I'm not here to make fun of anybody's name, but you know, when your brothers, you know, I remember being in high school and you get these girlfriends, oh, one of your friends got a new girlfriend, you never met him, never saw him. What's her name? Anybody say a name that denoted prettiness? You know, an image come to your mind? A name that denoted just elegance? There's only one thing that comes to my mind when somebody says Gomer. Surprise, surprise, surprise. But that thing on TikTok, surprise, surprise, there she came. Gomer? I'm not, listen, if your name is Gomer, I'm not making fun of you. I'm sure you're just turning the tide. You're probably beautiful. Man, I don't know. I got myself into a hole with this one, didn't I? All right, we're going to keep going. But here's it goes. So listen. So in this passage, he says this. God says, I'm going to take this woman, and every time she leaves you, you're going to go find her and remarry her. Imagine that. So that's what Hosea did. Every time she did, he'd go buy her back. She would leave. He'd buy her back, back and forth. God was using this to illustrate the children of Israel, how he was a faithful God, but yet they still played the harlot. They were still going after other gods. They were still going after other stuff. They were still pursuing and being connected to other things rather than the good tree. They were pursuing and being connected with other things. And God was saying, all right, I'm going to bring you into judgment. And the Bible, let's pick up our reading here in verse 14, chapter 2. He says, therefore, I will allure her and will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor is a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth and in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For I will take away from her mouth the names of Baal, and she shall remember them no more. I will make a covenant with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creepy things of the ground and the bow and the sword of battle. I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down in peace and safety. And God goes on for the whole passage. He begins to say, I'm going to bring Gomer and my people Israel to a place of contentment, to a place of tranquility, to a place that is peaceful, that they have longed for the whole time. I look at the words on this where God is saying, you will no longer call me master, but you will call me husband. It's our two trees. We've got one tree called master, and we've got one tree called fruit. God never created us to just do work for him and God use me. God never created us to just be a tool in his hand. God created us to have fellowship with him, to have a relationship with him. Jesus told his disciples in John 15 before he left, no longer do I call you my servants, because my servants have nothing to do with me. I will call you my friends, and I will tell you my plans, and I will tell you things that you need to know, because you're connected to the right tree. Let's look at the wilderness, the desert. Oh, we hate the desert. We hate the wilderness, but this is where God does his best work. Moses took the children of Israel. If you read the Exodus story, he did not go to Pharaoh and say, we're going to leave and go to the promised land. We're going to make a cool cartoon movie out of us in the 90s, and it's going to be great. He said, let's go to the wilderness so we can worship God. John the Baptist, who Jesus himself said was the greatest prophet that ever lived, the Bible says very specifically, was held in the wilderness until his day of appearing to Jerusalem. I almost appeared right off that stage. I don't know what it is about the wilderness, because the wilderness is a place that we hate. A wilderness is lonely. A wilderness is dry. What does this got to do with peace, Steve? I'm getting there. Let me just lay a foundation just for a moment. The place in the wilderness, here's the thing. He wants to take you out of a vineyard. Maybe you and I have allowed ourselves to be connected to the wrong tree. So he's saying, all right, if you won't cut yourself off, I'm going to pull you out to the wilderness and plant you to where I'm the only tree around. Because I want you to be connected with me, and I want you to call me husband. I want you to call me friend and not just master, like I'm just being served, like I'm just some tyrant. He wants us to know him. What does Song of Solomon say? My beloved is mine, and mine is my beloved. In the in revival days, we had a term that made a lot of people uncomfortable. We used to have songs about it called Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And some people got kind of hung up on the word. J.P. Dorsey, the dean of North Point College, was here preaching last year. I was dying. I was laughing. I was trying to remember what he said. If you remember what he said, you have the nerds. And he had two groups of people. It was hilarious. He said, that's why they get divided over songs. What was it? Yes, the nerds and the freaks or something like that. That's what we're seeing right here, is that we've got people that God is saying, listen, I'm going to pull you and bring you to me, and I want to be the lover of your soul. And what that means is that he is the only one and only thing that we can find contentment. Listen, Jesus is bringing us to the wilderness because he's saying it's time to recalibrate and it's time to join with him. Remember the peace, it's an activate. It's joining him. It's reaching out like those trees and grabbing a hold of that. Why? Because Jesus said he is the vine and we are the branches. His banner over me is love. Okay, I had to keep going. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he what? He prunes it. That means he's going to come to this tree. And he's going to see this fake stuff that looks good. But remember when Jesus went to the fig tree that didn't have any real fruit, he cursed it. Jesus is saying, I've come to you long enough and I just see superficiality. I just see religion. I just see formalities. I just see falsehoods. When Jesus never called us for that. He wants an authentic, genuine relationship with us. And sometimes he will prune us. What does this got to do with peace? Everything. Because when the Lord will purposely set us up for doing things that maybe are just a little above us, and when we reject that, we disconnect from the vine and wonder why we have no peace. We've had people come here into this church, lay out credentials upon credentials and degrees upon degrees. Remember one individual came to my mind. We were this back in the early days of the church. Dad was pastor, and this person came and laid down a half a dozen degrees and credentials from all these different places, and she said, basically, I'm here now. The church can begin. I don't do windows, I don't do children. Nursery, let me rephrase that. And so my dad said, well, you probably won't be doing a whole lot around here, but if you want to stick around and see what God does, you're more than welcome to. We had him, that lasted about 2 weeks, he was gone. We had him come during renovation. We're up there sweating. Pastor Eddie and myself, we'd be preaching and ministering on Sunday, changing to our cart hearts and be up on a scissor lift that afternoon up there. We had you people in the church, we're coming all around the clock, but we had people coming in with their soup. They saw to see excitement, what God is doing. They began to come. We had one young man begin to come and go, hey, I'm talking to my brother, I wasn't there that day. And he said, oh, you know, you need a so-and-so man, a certain position in the church. And my brother said, you know, maybe when we get there, but he said, I just want to do something for God. He said, can you go move that pile of wood? He was like, I don't really do that. He's like, well, you ain't gonna do nothing around here. There's a door, I gotta get back to work. Because listen, God is not impressed with our titles and positions, and neither are we. Because let me tell you something, God is looking for something a little bit deeper than that. Because why? Because if you're still focusing on that, you're in the works tree. You're still calling the master. When you've forgotten the Mary and the Martha that said, I'm all about works, and hey, somebody's gotta work. I get it. Somebody's got to do the service. But God is saying, I need somebody to come to the feet of Jesus sometimes and just pour out their heart and say, Lord, I want to know you. Amen. Because when we detach from that, we lose our peace. And then we start getting into works. Because listen, we can fake church. We can fake church, man. A.W. Tozer wrote a book. I love A.W. Tozer. Love his books. He said the average church in America, and this was 50, 60 years ago, could operate for 3 years without the Holy Spirit and never realize it. He's right. He is so right. Let me keep going. In the words of the great prophet Mick Jagger, the reason why I call him for a prophet, because the word prophet means speak on someone else's behalf. Elijah spoke on behalf of God. Mick Jagger did not and does not. I'm not telling you not to listen to his music. I'm just saying he's not speaking for God. He's speaking for the enemy of our souls and speaking for a generation that is lawless and doesn't know God. What is his famous song? I can't get no. Y'all don't know it. Y'all need to get saved. And I try. Listen, that is the anthem of the unknown to God. That is the anthem of the unbeliever, those without Christ. We can be drugged and take a pill to calm down, but there will never be any inner peace. We can take a swig from Jack Daniels, and there will never be inner peace. It may calm us down because we can do all of these things and never know inner peace and wholeness because that is only found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in a bottle. It's not found on a website. It's not found in the bed of a lover. It is only found at the feet of Jesus. And if we're not careful, we're going to be running to and fro and being unsettled and unstable and unreliable. And we're going to run to this and we're going to run to that. And we're going to be disconnected from the vine. But it's not so for the believer because his peace surpasses all understanding because it is directly from the Prince of Peace. That means when it's present, even when it shouldn't be. How many have experienced that? How many have experienced that peace of God that is present even when it shouldn't be? It is the peace that surpasseth all understandings. You know, you may not realize it, but when you go through trials and tribulations, your family is looking at you. Your unsaved coworkers are looking at you. Your unsaved children are looking at you. And you might find yourself saying, people say, man, I see what you're going through and I can't believe it. You can say, listen, I should be losing my mind right now, but I'm not. I should be going crazy right now, but I'm not. I should be ready to quit right now, but I'm not. I should be ready to cash it in right now, but I'm not. Some of you may have said, this is the last service I'm going to, but the Lord is stirring up something in your heart and says, I might be going crazy, but I'm not. Why? Because I am connected to the vine, and I know I have peace in him. Listen, let me tell you something that was a breakthrough for me. Maybe you realize it already, but for me, peace is not always the absence of tribulation. It is the ability to endure it. I used to pray every single morning, Lord, bless my day. Let no one get sick. Let no one get hurt. Let no one da 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 da. Every single day for most of my life. But yet things in life would happen, this and that and the other. And I felt like the Lord just really showed me one morning as I was praying that I felt like he was telling me to stop. And he changed my prayer to this. Lord, give me the grace to handle whatever comes my way. Lord, give me the grace to handle, because listen, in case you didn't realize that we live in a fallen world. Jesus said, in this world, you will suffer persecution. And this is a trick of the enemy that he wants us to become and get saved. We think our life should be Skittles and rainbows. And there's periods where it is, but there's also periods when everything goes wrong. You're getting poison ivy, you cut your thumb, move your college-age daughter home, car breaks down, you name it. He's saying, because I want that peace to activate in those moments. Let me keep going. You still with me? The second arena, I believe, so we got peace with God, is peace with yourself. This word is called siapeo. This means involuntary still. It is always used in the context of calming or silencing chaos. Why do I go here? Because Jesus said this, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be afraid. Do not let your heart be worried. Do not let your heart fret. This is the same phrase that when Jesus spoke to, we're gonna read it in just a moment, when Jesus spoke to the storm, peace, be still, this is that phrase. When the demoniac manifested himself at Jesus, Jesus said, hold your peace. This is, every single time this word is used, it means quiet the chaos. I don't know about you, but some of us need to just put our hands on our head and in the name of Jesus, quiet the chaos. The voices, the feelings, the reminders, quiet the chaos in Jesus' name. Peace. Be still. Because listen, emotions are very powerful. Emotions are very real, but emotions can deceive you. Because emotions react to what they perceive to be true. Did you catch that? If you think a group of people don't like you, every time you see them laughing, you think they're laughing at you. Emotions, you see something you're afraid of, you get absolutely terrified within your heart. Someone else can come and kill that spider and not think anything of it. You were never in danger. Those people do like you. They're not even thinking about you. But see how emotions can do that? If we get our feelings hurt, then we think everything that person does, they secretly are still trying to hurt us. Emotions are real, but they can lie to you because they work on perception. Jesus said, do not allow your heart. Why did he say that? Because our hearts will. Because our hearts will dial up worry. Our hearts will dial up fear. Our hearts will dial up anxiety. Why? Because that gives us a false sense of control. Oh, if I just worry enough about over this, then it's gonna work out. If I just have enough anxiety over this, if I just stress about this, then it's gonna work out. That's something we all battle. Now, some of us are wired a little bit more than that. In our life group, we learned that one sister was prone to panic. We still laugh about that to this day. There's people in my household that are wired that way. But if you remember the story in Mark chapter 4, when the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples, let's go across the water and we're gonna do some more ministry. What happened? Jesus went to the boat and fell asleep and a storm came. And the disciples were scared. How many remember that story? So I don't have to read it. Okay, you can read it later. The Bible says that they began to get scared. So they said, where's Jesus? They went down to the bottom of the boat and shook up Jesus and woke up Jesus, and Jesus come out. And he said, peace, be still. And the Bible says the winds would obey. I remember doing that as a kid, as a good church kid. We'd have to be outside playing, me and my cousin Jimmy. We'd be out there playing, the wind would get, and we'd come, peace, be still, and the winds obey. One day we were trying to play on our slip and slide, and it was too windy. It kept blowing over. So what we do in church, kids, we started speaking to the wind. True story. Don't know where that came from. Now, we always used to rebuke the disciples in this and saying, you didn't have enough faith, because Jesus rebuked them and said, oh, ye of little faith. I personally don't think Jesus was rebuking them for not rebuking the storm. This is what I think, because Jesus told them in the beginning of this passage, let us go across the water and do ministry there. You see, Jesus knew the assignment, as they say, as the kids say. He knew the assignment that God was sending him to a certain place. No matter what came their way, it may hinder a little bit, but it won't stop them. And what Jesus got mad at is that they doubted his promise. He said, we're going to go across this side. They begin to say, okay, Jesus, we love you. Reckless love of God. But the minute they get out to the real society, when things get a little turbulent, they begin, oh, there ain't no God. He ain't real. I don't know why I went there into that church. Guy up there in his white Nikes and thinking he's something. And Pastor Eddie ain't even here. I don't even like this guy preaching. He done hurt my feelings 3 times. He done call me names. And Jesus is saying, listen, if your faith is that volatile, buddy, it's got to grow. That's why Jesus said, you have little faith. It wasn't because they didn't rebuke the seas. That's what we take out of it. It was because they doubted the word of God. If they hadn't have doubted the word of God, they would have had the same peace. They would have all been sleeping underneath the boat. Because Jesus had the peace that was connected to the Father. He spoke calmness to the storm. Let me just keep going. In Matthew 19:19, this was touched on when Pastor Eddie did love. I want to go a little bit deeper on this. There's a scripture where Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. We're talking about peace within ourselves. Listen, we got people that walk around here that hate themselves. We got people that walk around here that have massive amounts of regret. We got people that have a past, have a history. And God is saying, I want to set you free from that. It has hindered you long enough. I want you to no longer identify yourself like Gomer's child, because in the rest of that passage, he said, I will call the one nameless named. I will call the one loveless loving by me. God's promises are yes and amen, and peace is one of them. And God wants you to have peace with yourself. We all have past regrets. I don't know what it is, but we will never tell our neighbor, you're this dumb, stupid idiot. But yet sometimes some of us, when we're all alone, we'll look in the mirror in the face and wash our face, and we'll say, you're so stupid. You're so dumb. You're so ugly. You're so short. You're so tall. You're so thin. You're whatever. Your parents didn't love you. That's why you're like this. You're maybe, you know, I'd have time to go down every scenario of life. You would never say those things to somebody else. Then why are you saying them to yourself? You were created in the image of God, just like everybody else. You are loved. You were planned. Mom and dad might not have planned you, but God planned you. Your mom and dad might have rejected you, but God will never reject you. Let me keep going. I'm running out of time. I gotta keep going. Thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, the devil will put you on what's called self-destruct. Do we forget that the devil is not quite as powerful as we think he is? And there's only a third of the demons versus the 2/3 of the angel. Not to mention you got Jesus, which is like, what? So we get all that devil on the doorknobs. Come on, man. Anoint it and get over it. If you're that afraid of the devil, then maybe your faith needs to just grow. Just so that's all I'm saying. Because I never saw Jesus walk in anywhere and say, devil, get away from me. He'd say, come on. The demoniac would come and fall at his feet. He'd cast it out. That's what it means to walk in the authority and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me get off that rabbit trail. But the enemy knows that we're on self-destruct. Listen, he'll fill us full of self-regret, unforgiveness, guilt, and shame, all of these things that rot us from the inside. We put on a smile, but inside we're hurting. We put on a grin, but inside we're lonely. We put on a happy face, but we're not okay. And I'm here to tell you that it's okay to not be okay in life sometimes. You don't have to put on that smiley face. You can come to the Lord and say, Jesus, peace, be still in this mind. Peace, be still in this heart. I don't know about you, but I sometimes cannot remember where I left my keys. This morning, I spent 15 minutes trying to find my wallet and my keys. But when I lay in bed at night, my mind rehearses every stupid thing I've ever said. When I was 10 years old, in ultra 4K, high definition, surround sound, my mind replays the dumbest stuff that I said and done. Today, after this message, I'm gonna do the same thing. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Listen, we're human. But let me tell you something. We all have things in our past. We all have regrets and mistakes. But as believers in Christ, our oldness is gone and everything is made new. Put that regret behind you. Put those mistakes behind you. Today is a new day. You are a new creation in Christ. Every play in football is not a touchdown. You just got to keep going one step at a time, one step at a time. Holy Spirit, activate one step at a time. Lord, connect me. Lord, bring peace to me. Did you get this today? Another thing that can take our self-pity, another thing that can take our peace is self-pity. I'm almost done. I have a booklet that I carry with me to every conference I go to, every workshop, everything, and I write in this booklet. And this, I didn't write who said it, so I'm going to give credit to Melissa Alfaro and Chris Brooks. These were the two speakers. I don't remember who said it. But I went through my notes, and I remember something. I heard something about it, came across it. Self-pity can take our peace. Sometimes when we have regrets or when bad things happen to us, it turns into self-pity. That's what I mean. We will literally suspend the progress of God in our lives because we feel sorry for ourselves. We can carry that hurt for 30 years. Self-pity causes fruitlessness. This is where we get that from. 1 Kings chapter 19. You remember the story when Elijah runs from Jezebel and goes to the cave? You remember that story? And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord, after so many times, an angel of the Lord came and woke up Elijah, said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And he said, I think we have that. Do we have that? Let's read it. So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." This is what he told the angel. How many pouters do we have here? How many people say, "I pout, and I know it"? Okay. Okay, 3/4 of y'all are lying. Listen. So you fast forward a little bit. The Bible says that God comes as a giant storm of wind. He breaks the rocks. He comes with fire. Comes all this stuff. And finally he calls God, calls him out. And then he says, he said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" This is God talking. He said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I am alone left. They seek to take my life." Self-pity caused the prophet of God to the land of Israel, who raised the dead, who healed the sick, who eventually was caught up in a chariot of fire, brought fruitlessness to his life. God said, "Okay, you're going to leave here. You're going to anoint Elisha in your place, and you're going to anoint Jehu, and they're going to finish the job that you were supposed to finish because you had self-pity." And God said this at the end, "By the way, I have reserved 7,000 prophets that haven't bowed a knee." Because self-pity means we're working in pride. We think we're the only one. Our ideas are the only ones that are the best. Our experience is the only one that matters. We're the only one. God is saying, "I got 7,000 you don't even know about." Elijah was like, "Okay, fine." He went and hired his replacement. Don't be self-pity. I remember good old Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack Wallace sat under him for a few years at DWO before he passed away. He used to say this. I wrote this down in my Bible, and I've never forgot it. He said, "Whatever we dwell on is what we are worshiping." Let me say that again. Whatever we dwell on, that is what we are worshiping. And whatever we worship outside of Jesus is an idol. I've never forgotten that. When I find myself getting too worried about the bills, when I find myself getting too worried about the church, when I find myself getting too worried about my whatever, that becomes an idol in my heart. I'm losing my peace because I'm disconnecting from the vine and I'm focusing on that. Let me keep going. The last one is this. How many give me 5 more minutes? Okay, if you gotta go, you can go, but give me 5 more minutes. The last one, Jesus said this. Jesus said, "I give you peace, but not as the world gives it." So we need to have peace with God, we need to have peace with ourselves, and we need to have peace with others. You see, this, not as the world gives, because the peace that we think we're looking for just simply means calmness. It is not meant to pacify, it is meant to satisfy, peace is. The calmness that the world tries to give you just pacifies the symptoms. The peace of the Lord will satisfy. Listen, we can have countries, right now we got countries at war. We can have them call a truce today. Just because they're not firing missiles doesn't mean they still don't hate each other's guts. I love that Wayne Francis, he was one of the speakers at the men's conference. He was talking about this a little bit. He says, some of y'all go to church with people because you use it. And he was talking about generations and race and everything. He said, but you don't like them. That was really, it got quiet in there too. Listen, the addict can be thrown in jail. He'll be clean for years because he's incarcerated. But the minute he gets out, she gets out, they're gonna run to that substance again because there's no change in here. There's no change in here. Jesus said, my peace is not like the peace of the world. The earthly peace is conditional. It is meant to be superficial. Jesus wants us to be different. Here's what I'm gonna show you. This word is irenopeio. You know what it means? It means to harmonize. It means to make peace. This is different than join. The first peace to Jesus was join, was reach out, grab a hold of what God is doing. This one talks about peace of men. Psalms 133 says how good and how pleasant it is for men to dwell in unity. This has to do with harmony. Listen, as a music background, harmony is huge in music. Let me show you something. Can I show you if this is still on? It's still on. Let me show you something really quick. Our worship and praise team, Miss Nancy, does a great job. We emphasize a lot of what's called musical harmony. What that means is this. See, on this keyboard, I'm going to show you something. On this keyboard, you have the D note. There's about 7 D notes on this keyboard. In music, you have 2 ways of describing it. Some will say high, mid, and lead, if you're in like barbershop or something, or if you're in traditional choir, it'd be like soprano, alto, baritone, which we all call bass, but until the real bass singer comes up, we all think we're basses, but you're just a baritone. And it's soprano. Second soprano, however far you want to get on it. And what they do is they come together because there's a thing in music called harmony. Or I'm sorry, melody or harmony. What that means is one person is going to sing a D, one person is going to sing an F sharp, one person is going to sing an A. 3 people singing one chord. See how beautiful that is? And I can play that all over the keyboard. But if I have everybody that just wants to sing melody, this is what that would sound like. How boring is that? There takes some people that says, all right, I'm going to take the second chair and I'm going to play this. Because there's only 7 Ds on a keyboard and there's only 7 F sharps, but you put that together, we're singing 14 notes. What did Jesus say? 1 puts 1,000, 2 puts 10,000. If we could just learn how to get along, we can make a beautiful chord for Jesus that would be beautiful. But instead, we're all wanting to be the lead. Instead, we're all wanting to sing the melody. And God is saying, I got enough chefs in the kitchen. I need somebody that's willing to chop vegetables. I need somebody that's willing to scrape the citrus clean. I need somebody that will run tables. My Lord, this is long-winded today. All right, let me get going. Come on. Do you remember how, let me tell you this, because a lot of people don't get this. You know, if you have your kids do the dishes, it just ain't the quite. My wife has introduced us to this thing called mom clean. I didn't even know that was a thing. But there's a thing called mom clean. So when she goes into the house and has the kids do the dishes, and if it's not mom clean, they have to do it again. What is mom clean? Mom clean is this. When the cup comes out and she holds it to the light, it's crystal clear. That means it's mom clean. But when you hold it to the light and you see a little bit of residue, a little bit of leftover, a little bit of stuff that wasn't washed out, you got to do it again. And let me tell you something. If we're going to have harmony and peace with one another, we got to learn to forgive one another. Listen, resentment is the residue of unforgiveness that may be holding some of us back. When we see that certain individual and makes our skin crawl, we forgive them in Jesus' name, but I don't like them. I understand that can be a work in progress sometimes, but we've got to let the residue be cleaned from us. I don't have time to show you the story in Matthew 18, but there was a man in the Bible that owed a king 10,000 talents. That was equivalent to 60 million days' wages. He asked the king to forgive him. He said, okay, I'll forgive you. And the Bible says he went and he found a friend that owed him $100. And he beat him, threw him in jail because he couldn't pay. Well, some guys were standing around, told the king what this guy did. The king called him back and said, did you just really do that? He said, yeah. He said, I had mercy on you and you didn't have mercy on your brother. I'm going to throw you into the dungeon and give you to the torturers until you have repaid everything. Listen, resentment, unforgiveness will torture your soul. It will eat away. You done lost the peace of God, and it will eat away at you. It will eat away at you, and it will ultimately take you out of the game. See, this is not my regular keyboard I like to play. This is my backup. A regular keyboard is being sent to the shop because they had a few notes that were not working properly. So instead of hitting a nice chord, that sounded kind of cool too, didn't it? It'd be kind of like weird. So I can't play it anymore. I'm going to tell you something. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to preach all day. Let's stand to our feet. Worship team, would you come? Thank you for hanging with me, guys. We had a lot going on today. I hope you do recognize that. But my dad used to preach a message. If you want peace with other people, some people can't be reasoned with. My dad used to preach a message on his evangelistic days. Dad, I know you're watching. I don't know if you remember this. He used to call it, "Get Off My Boat." And the whole message was a story of Jonah, but not about Jonah, but about everybody else. Because sometimes in Christianity, we feel like we need to be somebody else's doormat. Walking in love doesn't mean you're a doormat. God never signed you up to be in an abusive relationship. And God is telling you, you have no peace because you've got a Jonah on your boat. They will not repent, they will not change, and they're causing their storm to trickle into your life. God is saying today, kick the Jonah off your boat. Eventually, I had to get rid of that keyboard. I can't play it anymore. You know, there comes a time when you got to have boundaries in your life. I'm speaking even from a shepherd's heart. We've had to protect this church from certain people. We've had to say, you know, some people won't be discipled, they won't be changed. Then it's probably time for us to make a change, because we don't want anybody to come in. Because Jesus said this, Jesus said the enemy will come and he will sow tares in a perfectly good wheat field that will destroy the crop. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say peacekeepers. There comes a time when you got to stand up and say that. So this is our response time. I always believe in a response time. There's a last scripture in Isaiah 61. I don't know if we have that, but God said that I will give them beauty for ashes. I will give you beauty for ashes. God wants to give you peace for pieces. So we're going to have response time today. Let him give you peace. Get connected to him. For some, you need to get down here and get some prayer if you can. For God to heal your emotions and come at peace with you. Forgive yourself. Love yourself. Others need to be connected with God. You have no peace with God because you're running in disobedience. You're running in rebellion. You've got things out of line. You're not connected to the Father tree. Or lastly, maybe you need to forgive somebody and you just need help doing that. Or maybe you need to let somebody go out of your life and cut them out. They're toxic. You need to cut them out of your life, and it's not easy for you, but you need to do it. Let God do that. Altar workers, would you come? Everybody bow their head, close their eyes. Because listen, this mental health thing is very real. Let me just tell you right now. If you're in this place, listen to this message, or maybe you find it on YouTube, because maybe you have a peaceful life right now. I guarantee you at some point in your life, you're gonna need this peace. But listen, let me just say this. If you are indeed suffering from mental health issues that just are you need some help with that, it's okay to go get help. I just wanna set some people free, because I believe the church has had this wrong for a little while. If I had heart issues or if I had a broken bone, I would go to the doctor and let them do their thing. Listen, we have a lot of medical professionals that attend this church. You are God's agents of healing. Healing comes divinely through his hand or even through some medicine. Who do you think gave man wisdom for that medicine? It wasn't them in their research. It was God. Luke was a physician. And the only reason why I go there is because mental health has had a bad stigma. There's people that need to get treatment and they won't because they feel condemned. Don't feel condemned. The Bible says to bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Confession is good for the soul. He's not talking about me and you so we can gossip pray. Do you hear about so-and-so? They really need your prayer. He's saying, get some help. So we're gonna sing this song, and listen, I'm just gonna just say, God bless you, be dismissed if you gotta go. But if you wanna come and get prayer for peace in any arena in your life, or maybe you have a doctor's appointment this week and need prayer, maybe you got prayer for a loved one that's not saved, I'm gonna just ask you to come. Lord, we thank you for your grace that's here today. We ask, Father God, that peace would come and set your people free. Amen. God bless you. Be dismissed or come for prayer, whatever you wanna do.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in and God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.